You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Time runs out, and the regular season is over for the Knicks. It's on to Cleveland, Knicks and the Cavaliers, and it's coming up.
Next step for us are the playoffs, but this is a greater challenge.
We're able to get to a decent place in the seeding, and we have a long way to go for us to get to where we want to go.
The only way the Knicks get out of town and out of Dodge with any sense of people being happy is if they go out there and win the series. And you know why? The Knicks can win this series.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
We are the New York Knicks.
Oh, yeah. Friday, 9 o'clock in the morning. Knicks playoff basketball is here. Tomorrow, 5:30 right here, 98.7 ESPN. This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. So you said you had, and by the way, Dan Grossin for Rick DiPietro on Friday.
Hello.
You said you had a trivia question regarding the series.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. And look, I'm not going to hold it against you if you don't get it. I don't know if I would have gotten it because it's kind of out there a little bit.
All
but
right.
It's interesting. It's more kind of just adding some context to the series, you know, playing at both sides. So Cavaliers are in the postseason, believe it or not, for the first time not with LeBron James on the roster in 25 years. 1998 was the last time the Cavaliers made the playoffs and LeBron James was not on the roster, believe it or not. Okay,
okay.
So it's been a long time.
Okay.
Mike Fratello was the coach of that team.
Oh,
you remember those those odd uniforms and stuff like that? Who was the leading scorer of that Cavaliers team?
What year was this? The 87-88?
98.
Oh,
97-98. And I'll give you a hint. Don't look it up. And I'll give you a hint.
Come on, you know, how dare you?
So I'll give you a hint. One more hint.
Go ahead.
Because I want you to get this. He is a player who is best known for not playing with the Cavaliers.
He's best known for not playing with the Cavaliers.
When you think of this player, you think of one thing off the court and then another thing, but him in a totally different uniform than the Cavaliers.
Hmm.
His professional heights were with another organization.
Was Wayne Embry involved with that team?
Was he on that 98 Cavaliers?
No, I don't know. He
team?
Was not. He would have been like a
He might have been in sixth grade at that point or something.
All right. So I wonder if Ilgauskas wouldn't have another.
And he was in the news recently, believe it or not, for the wrong reasons.
Sean Kemp.
That's correct. See, that's a good job by you. I was going to give you one more clue and say the team that he's best known with is not even in existence anymore.
Are you kidding me with this, by the way?
What do you mean?
I mean, are you kidding me with this? That the last time they won a non-LeBron James playoff series that Sean Kemp was the leading
scorer? No. Don't misconstrue. Not won a series, made the playoffs.
That's even worse.
Yeah. 25 years since the Cavaliers were in the playoffs and LeBron James was not on the team.
It's amazing. It really is absolutely amazing. Do you have any of that roster, by the way, of who the Cavs team was, what they were looking like?
Wesley Person was on that roster. Zydrunas was also on that team because I remember.
He was there for a long time. Wesley Person from Auburn, RJ. Auburn. Go ahead.
Correct.
Go ahead. Who else you got?
Danny Ferry was still hanging around on that roster.
The Dookie. Yeah.
Who could remember Bob Sura
from Florida State? He was a backcourt mate of one Charlie Ward and Sam Cassell.
Damn right he was.
Yeah, of course I remember Bob Sura.
Brevin Knight was on that team. Yeah, those are the
from
those
Stanford
are the ones that would probably register. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brother of Brandon Knight.
That's correct.
From Pittsburgh.
Played for Pitt. That's absolutely right.
Rutgers assistant coach.
Well, it all comes back to Rutgers, doesn't it?
Of course. We need a new assistant coach, by the way. Carl Hobbs left to go with Damon Stoudemire down to Georgia Tech.
It's been a very long time. You know, they're hungry because I think that there's got to be something that they, you know, LeBron, great, conquering hero, hometown guy, all that. But there's got to be a win something without LeBron James. It's been a long time, like you just mentioned.
Well, I saw Terry Tito, whatever you want to call him, Francona, talking to the media the other day. And remember, we had Cleveland, New York in the playoffs last year. So he was talking about, you know, his advice to J.B. Bickerstaff about, you know, coaching in a Cleveland, New York playoff series and how hostile things can get.
Let's get to some of these calls because you could tell there's like I can feel it. I think you can feel
people
it as well,
are
right?
Fired up.
There's a palpable buzz around the series now.
Should be.
Yeah, of course. This is big stuff. And you know what I want to do? I want to do this as well. We're not going to spend a ton of time. A little bit of time on the Nets as well, because they feel like a second class citizen. Because quite frankly, they are.
They are,
and they deserve a little bit of conversation heading into their series against Philadelphia. Let's go to John in Tarrytown. John, you're on 98.7. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Dave? What's going on, Dan?
What's up, John?
All right. Before I make that point, I just want to make a promise to Dave.
Yeah.
I've got two international trips. I will make sure when I'm in Curaçao in Colombia to call you so you can add those to your map.
Love it. Thank you for that. Okay. Appreciate it.
And on the Knicks, I've been a Knicks fan since 94. I was 7 years old. I'm 35 now. Chasing that high ever since. And just excited. You know, two off seasons ago, we made the playoffs, made all those big moves, and then awful. Kemba Walker, all of that. And
those are some. John, you bring up a good point. Thanks for the call. You bring up a good point. Those Fournier, Walker, like these are terrible signings.
But didn't we know that at the time? Like really? Like didn't we know? I mean, unless you thought that you know they.
But doesn't it almost make it worse that you spent $70 million on Evan Fournier and you knew he was going to be awful?
Yeah, I mean, we saw Evan Fournier's entire career. I guess the Knicks watched the Olympics that summer and what he did for France. And you're like, oh, hey, we got to give this guy 70-whatever million dollars. I mean, it's no surprise. And Kemba, I mean, he was a diminished player.
And what do they think? That by just living in New York, that all of a sudden his knee would magically repair itself?
Yes.
He's from here, so if he plays back here, he'll be motivated. No, the guy's he's a warrior. He wanted to play. He just wasn't physically capable of playing anymore.
And if he didn't sign with them, I heard they were going to go after Rod Strickland.
Mo Cheeks. You like to make a point there. You know what I don't understand? Why people call and it's necessary for them to tell you when they became a fan of the team.
Right. I was like, at my grandmother's house on her little black and white TV with the rabbit ear antennas, and this was 19...
I'm a Yankee fan since 1964.
Yeah.
Look, I just don't, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
I've been a Yankee fan since 1938.
Why do you need to tell me?
Well, because maybe the only person that I would want to know that from, like if there was, who's the most successful team that we have in our area right now? Well, we haven't won a championship in God knows how long.
The Giants have last championship.
Right, so that's over 10. But like, let's say if we were doing a show right now and it was 2000 and you know, you were in the middle of a Yankee run,
Yankee
they were just dominating.
2000.
And if somebody called up and said, you know, I've been a Yankee fan since last year, well, you call them out for being a fraud because they're a front runner.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, I agree with that. I agree
with that. Other than that, though.
I can, you know, if you call and you say, I'm a Yankees fan since 1938, you know what? I'm okay with that because I think that there's some credence to that. You're a Yankees fan for 90 years, right? But you call, you're like, I've been a Yankees fan since 2000 or a Knicks fan since 2004. That doesn't impress me remotely, Dan.
Been a Yankee fan since 1999.
Well, it does nothing for me.
It must have been hard calling sports radio or any radio, whatever, on a rotary phone, right?
I think so.
Like you dialed a,
and then if you made the one misstep, now it's like, oh god, now I gotta hang it up and do the whole thing again.
Right. If like if we're giving something away, be the 10th caller. And then like imagine like there's only so fast you can go because you're at the mercy of the stupid wheel thing.
And if the number was like a nines in it, now it's going to go all the way up, then all the way back.
You've got
and there are
no
people listening to this like, what in the world are they talking about? Nick in Woodbridge. Good morning, Nick. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I know there's been a lot of back and forth around, you know, needing Brunson and Randle to be healthy and to execute, and you hope quickly and RJ and guys like that can contribute as well. But I think the X factor really does become Mitchell Robinson. I think the Cavaliers do such a good job of controlling the paint. And when you have Allen and Mobley who are able to rebound, if Robinson doesn't stay out of foul trouble, Hartenstein is going to have to really, really step up, and that's a concern. So hopefully Mitch can stay on the court and these guys can come out and perform. Super excited. I think they got a really good chance to win. And, go Knicks. Thanks, guys.
Hartenstein has been tremendous, and thanks for the call, Nick.
Yes.
Tremendous this season.
He's been everything and then some. Like, because there were some people that when they signed him, they're like, really? This guy? Why was he such a priority? Well, I think you saw it. And he was the only guy in this team that played all 82 games, right? The thing with Mitch, just stay out of foul trouble. Don't worry about, you know, being a 2010 guy.
But it's hard for him to stay out of foul trouble.
But you know what? Don't worry about the offense either. Get your offensive rebounds. And if you want to get some putback, second chance points, be my guest. But you're not going to be a focal point of the offense, dude. Just do what your role is supposed to be for this team. Nothing
block
more, nothing
shots,
less.
Defend, rebound, and stay available. That would be my four. I don't care. When you get an offensive rebound and you want to dunk it back in, fine. Point guard gets penetration, you want the alley-oop, fine. You know what he reminds me of? I'm not saying his game is similar to this, but he's Rodman. There should be no place for him. If you get the ball, off a rebound, you want to put it in, have at it. But we are not setting up a play for you.
He's even more important if there's no Randle, because that's another big that you don't have at your disposal. You need Mitch even more.
Absolutely. Now, you think Sims plays considerably if Randle can't go tomorrow, right?
Considerably is a strong word.
15?
I think I don't even know if I'd give him 15. I think that Josh Hart might be pushing between 35 and 40.
Josh Hart should play a lot regardless.
Yeah, I agree. But it's just, I don't worry about Josh Hart, though, because you know what I know Josh Hart won't do? Even if he's out there playing extended minutes, right? He's not going to make the game or try to take the game away from just letting it come to him. Like, he's still going to go out there and take no more than 4 or 5 shots a game and still find a way to impact it.
Right. He's not
ends.
Julius Randle where the ball gets into his hands and it's going up. But the thing, see, I think you appreciate, and I don't mean you, I mean everyone, you appreciate Josh Hart, period, right? He's a terrific player. He does all the little things. I think when you get to playoff winning basketball, crunch time, needing the little things done, you'll appreciate him that much more.
Amen. That's why you got this guy. Like, you know, it's funny, like during the trade deadline or a little before, like we were talking about all these rumored targets that the Knicks might be after. And I remember saying about Josh Hart, you know what? Josh Hart's not a guy that's going to move the needle necessarily. Like when it happens, it's not like you're bringing in like a perennial all-star, like, oh, we just traded for Damian Lillard or something like that. No, but you know what? He fits this damn team to a T. Does he not?
And he fits not only the way Thibodeau wants the team to play. He fits in beautifully. He's been a great addition. I hope they keep him. I think he's a wonderful player. Let's go. Let's go to Spike in St. Pete. First of all, Spike, before we even get here, and I know you're excited about the Knicks, are you and your family okay with all the flooding down there?
Yeah, we're doing well. I wanted to ask you first and foremost how Sherry is doing.
She's not great. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. She's not in danger. The surgery was a tremendous success, but she's having it's a real rough surgery, and she's having a tough time recovering.
Yeah, one of my boys had ACL and meniscus, and I think that's what you said she had. It's
yes.
Complicated. It really is. She has the bending machine and all.
She has the bending, the ice. She has all the machines, all the mechanics. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be tough to. It must be very tough for you to watch her in pain. Anyway, she's stronger than you are. That's for sure.
That's true.
Call me if you get stuck.
Honestly, Spike? What am I going to call you for? Like, first of all, you're in St. Pete. What could I possibly need from you down in Florida?
How to open the dryer when it won't open.
Well, she called that out to me. She was telling me things.
Okay, all right, just hold the button. All right, here we go. Here's my actually, I hope she's well, gets better fast. Here's what I think with the Knicks. I think they will win it in six. I don't think you can win it in seven. Danny was on last week with Rick when you were off, and I told him that, and I think he agreed with me too. It's very hard to win on the road with a killer player like Donovan Mitchell, who has a little Dame Lillard in him, you know, a little closer killer, fourth quarter scorer. The two deficiencies on this team, and I'm stealing it from Alan Hahn, and he mentioned that the Knicks and the Cavs both have the same issue, defensive integrity in the paint on the defensive side, meaning that they give up a lot of points in the paint. Now, they're slow. Mobley's pretty slow to get back. He's a bear off the boards. I agree with everything you guys said. My strategy is this, and I'm not happy about it, but I think something good's going to happen. Spread the floor out. Put the Quickly's the best straight on shooter. Grimes has turned into a wonderful quick release player, and he's a terrific defender. And they let Hart guard his man, so it loosens him up a little bit. And put Grimes on one elbow, Quickly straight on, and put Hart, who can make the three.
Sure,
but
can.
Hart takes what they give him. So my theory is hold off on the boards, wash on the boards. These are two terrific rebounding teams, and you have to tie a Donovan Mitchell out, because as great as he is, and he's great, and we should have made that deal, we didn't, so we wound up with Josh Hart and a couple of other pieces. Just tire him out, run him around, hope for the best, and we're going to have to make our threes. You know, Levert, Mitchell, and who's the other guard? Garland. Mm-hmm. All shoot 38% to 41%. So we're going to have to get our numbers up from there. We're not that far off if you look at the percentages with Quickly and Grimes and Hart.
The Knicks are, so that, Spike, thanks for the call and thanks for checking in and everything. The Knicks are a good team, and the Knicks are so far. Like, and I said this to Rick, and he agreed. If this Knicks team, Dan, played the Knicks team from 2 years ago, this team wins in five games.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
So, I know you'll miss Randall if he's not able to play or if he's hobbled, but you do have a lot of pieces that can pick up the slack for him.
One other thing, real quick, just to add to, you know, if you want to talk about deficiencies with Cleveland, you know where they struggled this year too, guys? Seriously?
Go ahead.
Close games. Close games.
Mm.
Late game situations, close, tight games. They were less than their best. So maybe that plays into the Knicks' hands too.
Whatever it takes to play into the Knicks' hands, I'm here for it. All right, let's go. RJ, this is the last one for the week. Make it a great one in Stuff You Miss.
Now. See ya.
Bang! Touchdown! Rebound score!
The sh** you missed.
Oh, and there is, as there often is, much of it. So, much to the dismay of my premature look at, Yankees just get hammered yesterday. Johnny Brito. You know what, Dave? Out of respect to you, I won't even play the drop.
No, you know what? I don't care, because you're playing it out of context. Johnny Brito has been so great.
He wasn't great last night, Johnny Brito. Seven runs, two-thirds of an inning. Yankees lose 11-2 in a game that ends with IKF pitching, which is never great.
And he did well.
He did well. Scoreless ninth. Better than Johnny Brito, or Johnny Brito, as many call
Where's
him.
Where's my burrito? Where's my burrito?
By the way, Dan, now you're being a bad guy. I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to make fun of you. Did you hear why Mel had to finish his interview with us yesterday, Dan?
No, why?
Play the audio. He had a meeting with someone.
With who?
He Lee had a Goffis. Meeting with Lee Goffis.
For you guys, there's all soft outs.
Lee Goffis.
Yeah. Lee Goffis.
I said Lee Goffis and didn't enunciate the proper consonants.
Right, he said
just Lee Goffis in general, Lee Goffis.
So now
no,
like
he said like Lee Goffis.
Lee Goffis.
Oh, Lee Goffis. Or yeah, I went to a school with a Bob Goffis.
Yeah, he might have been related to Lee.
Or Lee Goffis or Lee Goofus.
The point is he had a meeting with the man named Lee. Go ahead, RJ.
Lee Goffis. IKF threw, do they call it a what is the, it starts with an E, I can't remember. The Ephus pitch or Ephus?
Ephus is right.
Ephus pitch?
Not the Ephus pitch. The man's name was Ephus.
I couldn't
remember. The euphemism.
But it was, so IKF threw a 38 mile an hour pitch that was the slowest tracked in Yankee history.
And how did it do?
It was a ball. It went over the batter's head.
Went over the backstop.
Yeah, went over the batter's head. Called for a ball. So not great. Bryce Harper yesterday seen taking some ground balls. Not sure what it means at first base. So as he works his way back from Tommy John, expected back around the All-Star break. Reese Hoskins, our first baseman, obviously out for the year. So Harper, something to keep an eye on.
And Derek Lee, who was the replacement after Hoskins went down, is also out for the foreseeable future. So Harper's going to play first base primarily when he comes back.
Look at that.
Believe it or not.
Dan knows everything.
Dan is very buttoned up.
He really is. And I'll tell you.
I do national baseball.
Well, now, hang on a second. Derek Lee? That can't
Derek.
Be the same. What?
Derek? With an A.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Derek Hall. Did I say Lee?
Yeah.
I meant to say.
All right, you said Derek Lee, and I was like, I didn't even heard of this.
Derek Lee was a first baseman for the Cubs, wasn't he?
Right, and
Derek
didn't he like
Hall,
live in a houseboat? I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And Shane
Falco? No, that was Derek Bell.
Derek Lee was, yes, in fact, the Cubs first baseman.
We went from supposed to be Derek Hall to Derek Lee to Derek Bell.
Yes.
I think that was Shane Falco.
And all the way over to league office, yeah.
Yeah,
right,
league
he was
office.
Living in Shane Falco. Him and Shane Falco were roommates.
Yeah, on the houseboat.
Yeah.
Tell you what, Dan was probably watching this last night. Heck of a way to introduce yourself, Luke Hughes.
Shot from Luke Hughes. He's denied. Luke Hughes on the wraparound. He scores his first career NHL goal. Ends the regular season with a record 52nd Devils win. They are ready for the Rangers.
That they do. 5-4 in overtime over the Caps. 52 wins, a team record. And as
you
a
know,
nice... Go ahead.
But you know what was funny, though? Like, because, again, that game went hand-in-hand with Carolina and Florida, right?
Right?
Because Carolina still had control of the division. All they had to do was win. So Carolina was beating the Panthers 2-0. Panthers scored two goals in the third period. I'm texting back and forth with Santiago, who's at the Garden, and telling him not so fast. It might not be Devils Rangers. So this is – it almost was like mimicking a television show or a movie, like a hockey movie. Canes give up the two goals. Rod Brindamore, their coach, Dave, calls timeout to rally the troops. Literally, he calls everybody over to the bench, screams at him for maybe like 12 seconds. And
did they score two goals off of that?
And he says, all right, let's go. Literally, they scored two goals in the next 21 seconds. Like only in a movie that would happen.
Yep. So now it's the Hurricanes against the Islanders, Rangers, Devils.
Correct.
Wow, you guys covered it all. Tuesday, Rangers Devils at Prudential. And
do we have a time for that?
Not officially.
Okay.
And that Hurricanes win over the Panthers, like you said, means a 2-7 is Canes and Islanders. Panthers, for their efforts for the loss, you get the Bruins. Good
That's
luck.
Brutal. They must had to have wanted to win that game last night.
I would think so. I'd really, really think so. Jonathan Toews, by the way, is done as a Blackhawk. His final game, he scores yesterday, but Chicago loses 5-4 to the Flyers. Heck of a run for the captain out there in Chicago. Three cups, 15 years. Toews has not said he's retiring, by the way. The Blackhawks have just said they put on a statement. It was a little bit clunky yesterday afternoon that he just won't be back. So enjoy.
That was, right? Like, that's you nice. Dropped that the morning of
Did you
like,
see that?
His
I feel like
final game?
Like, the writing was kind of on the wall, but I feel like Toews deserves a little bit more than a tweeted out statement at like noon the day before or the day of his final home game.
Okay.
I was on the ice
bye.
He won his first Stanley Cup, believe it or not.
It's amazing how quickly life moves. I remember when he was such a young player.
They gave those matching contracts to him and Kane. And
yep.
Now they ran its course. It's just the end of the contract. That's all it is. As Kane with the Rangers, a rental, as you know. So the Jets have waived Braden Mann. It's over. Expected move. They signed Thomas Morstead a couple of weeks ago, but Jets tried to trade Braden Mann, who was a six-round pick from 2020. No takers, so he's now gone.
Well, he wasn't very good. I don't know why they thought that they were going to get something in return for him.
Yeah, it didn't go well. Josh Harris.
Braden Mann, think about it. He's a punter is going to be best known for making a tackle during his three-year Jet career.
Not great.
Think about it. The game in 2020 against the Rams that the Jets won, that was their first win of the season, he basically prevented the Rams from scoring the go-ahead touchdown on a punt return in the fourth quarter.
It's a shame he did do that, in fact.
Cost them Trevor
If he
Lawrence.
Doesn't do that, you have Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback
Correct.
Right now.
So, Braden Mann.
Josh Harris has a non-exclusive deal for $6 billion to buy the Commanders. The non-exclusive part means it's fully financed but not signed. So, I guess he still could not get them, but everything is...
Magic Johnson part of that ownership group, too,
correct.
Supposedly.
Yep.
He is.
How many more teams do you need to own if you're Josh Harris? You got the you got the
Sixers,
the Devils. Now the Commanders. And doesn't he own a soccer team in the EPL, I think?
I don't know that.
Busy man.
He's got lots
Where
of cash.
Where does he have his money from? What's his claim to fame?
Butterfinger candy bars.
Washing machines.
Neither of those are true.
You guys are lying to me.
That's right.
Butterfinger
no.
candy bars.
Why you say that? No.
Odell Beckham Jr. was introduced as a Baltimore Raven.
So I'm not going to get a real ant. Fine. You guys talk. I'm going to look
Investment.
Up.
Wharton, he's a money guy.
Graduated
money guy.
From Wharton School of University yeah. of Pennsylvania and Harvard Hedge Business. Fund. Made his fortune in private equity.
Thank you.
Co-founded Raymond. The firm Apollo Global Management in 1990, according to Forbes, net worth of $5.8 billion.
There you
Thank
go.
You, Raymond.
We're learning things. Odell introduced yesterday, said Lamar gave him no assurances he will be a Raven.
Didn't get any assurances for anything. You know, life's uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day. We only know what's happened in the past. So to me, it just was excited about the possibility of that. You know, my thoughts would be that he would be here. I know that these two want him to be here. You know, at the end of the day, that's going to be up to them.
So that's that. Quick notes to finish up here. Bucks have no intent of trading Devin White, who wants a trade. Mike Brown of the Kings.
He wants money.
Yeah, Mike Brown of the Kings. He wins Coach of the Year in the NBA. Speaking of that Kings-Warriors series, Andrew Wiggins will be back for Game 1 after missing the last 25 games of the regular season because of a family matter. Speaking of returning, Rudy Gobert's back with the T-Wolves. They fight for their season tonight, take on the Thunder for the right to be the 8th seed out west. That game at 9:30, preceded by the Bulls in Miami to take on the Heat. They're fighting for the right to be the 8th seed in the East. And the Rays also, we haven't talked about them, beat the Red Sox yesterday. They're 13-0, the best start to a season for any baseball team you've ever heard of. The only one longer, a 20-0 start by the 84, and by 84 I mean 1884, St. Louis Maroons.
And who do they have? They have the Blue Jays tonight, right?
Yeah. I believe that's right.
So Mad Dog will be happy they have a legitimate competition tonight. So they are now...
Well, not only that, though, but why that's silly? Because they're pummeling teams.
Yeah. Pummeling
so
teams.
So even if they aren't
right.
playing bad teams, they're pummeling them.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't see any way that the Nets even, forget about win, even force a game. I'd almost say a game 6 in this series would surprise me.
Sixers and five. And look, we have fun at the Nets' expense. I have certainly all year, you know, at the train wreck that they were essentially right. when the other two guys were there. But honestly, and I know that sounds is kind of like a cheap cop-out, but I really think that it's legitimate. I think the length of this series is going to be determined by one thing only, Dave. How motivated are the Sixers going to be to make this a short series?
I would think they'd want to get in and out and done with this thing quickly.
You would think so. I would think so. But that's not how things play out necessarily,
right?
But I don't think that there's any shred of a doubt that the Sixers will win. I'm sure they're supremely confident. And I think that in the back of their minds, they probably realize, you know what? If we don't have our best each and every night, we're still going to find a way to win this series. Because bottom line, the Nets have you could say this about a lot of teams. The Nets have zero answers for Joel Embiid. Zero.
Well, who has an answer for Joel Embiid?
That's what I mean. But the Nets certainly don't.
No, they don't have any answer. He's terrific. I mean, he's going to be your MVP. He's a phenomenal player. They're a talented team. I think they're clearly the third team in the Eastern Conference, but that's a very talented team. It's a really rough matchup for Brooklyn. And again, Dinwiddie's fine. Bridges is a very good player, but the Nets don't have anyone that terrifies you on that team.
You know something, too? And again, people might think that I'm like continuing to take shots at the Nets, but I said earlier in the show that the Eastern Conference is really bad, like aside from the top, like it's top heavy.
It's top, right? It's three teams. Cleveland and the Knicks are in that next tier.
On a normal year, like a normal given year, like for instance, Golden State is the sixth seed in the Western Conference.
Which is terrifying.
Right. And do you think that there's any comparison between Golden State and the Nets? Like,
no.
That's what I mean. Like, the Nets should be fortunate they're a six. Like, if this was, like, more than, like, past a mediocre Eastern Conference top to bottom, they shouldn't be ranked that high. And do you realize that in games where Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving or either one of them were not in uniform, they had a losing record this year?
Yeah.
Losing record.
That makes sense. I mean, listen, those were the best two
so
players
on the
team.
So that's the reality now, though. That's
well,
the
I mean,
reality
what was their
of what
record
this team is.
Since they undid all they had done, well, their record was sub-500, right?
Yeah.
Once they moved on from
15,
Kyrie and Kevin Durant?
15-18 in games played that don't have KD or Kyrie.
Yeah, let's be fair, Dan. They're a mediocre basketball team. Now, I'm not saying they don't have some talent. They do have some talent. But I can't imagine, even if you're a Nets fan, you're looking at the series saying to yourself, we're going to get by and beat Philadelphia.
Well, I mean, if you listen to some of the Net fans after the KD trade was made, I mean, you would have thought that they weren't going to skip a beat. So, I mean, they live in Planet Delusional a little bit. So you never know how they're going to feel.
Silliness is what it is. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to some of the calls because they're all lined up and they're excited for the start of the NBA postseason. Let's go to Dan in Jersey. Dan, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Friday. Dan, you are blessed to be in the one presence of one Djibouti Dan on this Friday morning.
Are you familiar with Djibouti Dan?
We've spoken before. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm honored.
Go ahead, JD.
So I'm thinking about this series, and I think that Jalen Brunson is going to average over 30 points a game just because I think he's a top-five point guard right now. He had a top-five point guard season. What are your thoughts on that?
Boy, I tell you, if he gives you over 30 points a game, I mean, scoring is really not the problem for the Knicks. They score well. I think you'd be phenomenal shape.
Here's the question. Think about this. Cleveland, they're the number one defensive team in the NBA this year. So do you feel comfortable if the Knicks have to play and try to win ugly, low-scoring type of games? And when I say low-scoring by today's standards.
Right, you're not talking 88-83.
No,
you're talking 105-101?
Yeah, exactly, because that's the reality of the NBA now. But the Cleveland was the number one defensive team in the NBA. So
now your metric for that is what? Is points allowed per game?
Points allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
And what's the number?
105 or 106.
That is low, actually, this day and age.
It is. I don't have that number in front of me, but they are number one.
So do I think the Knicks can win low-scoring, ugly basketball?
106.9.
So 107 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your question? Do I think the Knicks can win an ugly brand of basketball?
Yes.
Can I cop out and give you an I don't know? I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think they can. I'm not certain.
Here's the thing.
You know what? I think with Thibodeau as the coach of this team, that they will be able to win an ugly brand of basketball. I'm going to say yes.
Talking about Brunson's offense, I mean, first of all, I think it's going to hinge on whether or not Randall's healthy and can play, because Brunson will score more if Randall is not on the floor.
Well,
he's gonna
he
have
will
to
and he'll and
that.
He'll need to. Yes,
right. He's going to have to. But I mean, as brilliant as he was last year for Dallas in the playoffs without Doncic, he didn't average 30 a game. I think he only averaged around like 21 or 22 or something like that. So that's asking a lot.
30 a game is a big number.
It's huge.
Yeah, he's not going to put that many points
up. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, you know, has had epic playoff series. He hasn't even averaged like 30 a game in his career.
Especially if you're sitting here telling me that Cleveland is the best defensive team by the metrics in the NBA. So you're talking about on average they're allowing 107. You think that Brunson's going to give you 30 points a game?
I mean, basically a third of the scoring output.
That's a hell of a percentage, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's asking a lot.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You're not looking at a 9 o'clock tip-off, a 6 o'clock tip-off for the world to see the Knicks and the Cavaliers, a game that can also be heard right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Now, do you prefer the 6 o'clock tip-off or the 1 o'clock like the Nets have from a viewing perspective?
6 o'clock.
You like the 6?
Yeah, I like to have most of my day in the rearview mirror, at least to be able to do some stuff and then enjoy the game. That's what I like.
I would agree. I think 6 takes the cake.
Busy sports weekend, though.
Oh, huge.
Yankees who got, bludgeoned would be an understatement what happened to the Yankees last night. Right, so they get hammered. They're back at it tonight. Nestor Cortez on the mound. Mets out in Oakland. Senga on the mound. That's a late start. And tomorrow, you have the Nets at 1 o'clock, Yankees at 1 o'clock, Mets at 4 o'clock, Knicks at 6 o'clock. Sunday, of course, the baseball teams. And then Monday, the Islanders. And then Tuesday, the Rangers and the Knicks.
All right, I got to ask you a question because we haven't even mentioned them this morning. I got to get the Mets. They're playing Oakland this weekend.
Yeah.
Oakland is, hands down, it's not even debatable, the worst team in the sport.
Correct.
They might be, like, historically bad when it's all said and done. What would constitute a disastrous weekend?
Losing the series.
You don't think they have to sweep? You'll settle for 2 out of 3?
No. You said what constitutes disastrous. If you win 2 out of 3, I can't look at winning a series 2 out of 3 and say that was a disaster.
I almost think you need to sweep this team. That's how bad they are.
Well, I think you could, but I'm sorry. I can't look at a series and say if you don't sweep it, it's a disaster.
You know what? Can I throw another disaster on top of that?
Yeah.
Losing the series and Trevor May gets both saves.
I can't stand Trevor May for a multitude of reasons.
And that's why it would add to the disaster. And by the way, Trevor May has a 9.64 ERA
they
with the Oakland A's.
Stink,
so far.
But I will say they can score runs.
Mm.
They scored a bundle against Baltimore in the series.
They also got outscored 27-1 in a 3-game stretch against Tampa and Baltimore.
Who is clearly the best team in baseball right now, right?
Their starting pitching is the worst in baseball.
Who's going? I think Waldichuk is on the mound tonight.
They're starting pitching, they have a 10 ERA.
They stink.
That's why they should sweep.
I'm just saying that I can't ever look at a series in baseball and say, if you don't sweep it, it's a disaster. It's a very
Well, here's the thing. How about this? How about you take 2 out of 3, and the loss is another less than spectacular Max Scherzer performance?
It's not a disaster. Oh. It's frustrating. It's disappointing. Disaster is a very strong word. If you lose 2 of 3, this is a disaster.
But you, of all people, considering your fandom and your passion and everything,
right.
I would expect you to settle for nothing less than a sweep against this horrible. They have two wins.
I think you have to be realistic, though. I don't think you could just be willy-nilly and say that if you don't sweep a series. You're on the road. Now, granted, road I say loosely because there might be more Mets fans than A's fans at the series. But to say you're gonna sweep a series on the road, that's a tall order. I know it's a bad team, but I can't expect that. So 2 out of 3, fine. I'm not going to celebrate if you sweep the series. I think you could sweep the series. But, again, the word disaster makes me change my kind of vision here of what I think.
That's fair.
All right.
Senga better not go out there and lay an egg, though, tonight.
He's terrific. Why would you imagine he'd lay an egg?
Because Jacob deGrom went out to Oakland last year and laid an egg.
That was
Saturday
a disaster.
Afternoon.
That was a disaster.
I rest my case.
Let's go to Wes in Fort Myers. Hi, Wes. You're on 98.7.
Wes.
Or Corey in Greenwich. Either way, or Wes in Fort Myers. Wes, good morning. How are you?
What a disaster.
That's a disaster.
Is it me?
I'm not sure who you are, but Wes, you're on.
This is Wes. Yes. Sorry. I know we were talking Mets here, but I'm going to switch it up to the Knicks.
Of course.
Shout out to the company, as always. Before I get into my point, Dan, you're definitely growing on me. I like you a lot. I think your shows
Thank you,
are going to be
I'll
later,
sleep
right?
I'll better this weekend now. Thank you.
Now, Wes, let me ask you this now. You say he's grown on you a lot. Did you dislike Dan at the start of things?
I didn't know who he was. I'm a morning show guy. I finished listening to
Wes, I'm glad you said that. It's almost to the, you know, like I got a lot of that here. Like people, it's like they literally assume that like they pulled me off the street and just threw me in front of them. You know, Dave, you know what I feel like? I feel like Seinfeld on Larry King. Like, can we get a resume? Like I have
how,
done
how
some
good
things
was, how
in my
good
career.
Was that? When it was, he's like, so they canceled the show?
Yeah.
No. No,
well, that's what I feel like. You know, I have accomplished a couple of things here and there to
but
get to this point.
Dan, is why you need your own promo.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how it would go, but you definitely need one.
Thank you, Wes. I appreciate
it. All right, Wes, what do you got?
All right, so Shooter from Stanford had posted a poll last week about who's the most important Nick in this series. I originally said Quickly because I was listening. I think it was Rick that said it, but the Cavs are one of the most slowest paced team in the league. So when Brunson comes out, Quickly just keeps on, with the pace, you know, no pun intended. But now that I heard a few callers, I really do feel like that Mitchell Robinson has to play really, really well as well to keep up with these guys. Like you guys said, they're a good defensive team. Rebounding, Evan Mobley, all that. I feel like, you know, we need to control the boards, you know.
I don't think you're going to control the boards. I'd be surprised by that. If you can, and thanks for the call, Wes, if you can get to the end of the series and say, boy, you know what, the Knicks were right there on the glass against Cleveland, I think that's a win.
Yes, because, look, they're two bigs, right? Mobley and Jared Allen. I mean, those dudes can lock it down. They do what they do really well, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, they play their game. And they play very well.
Despite
you're right.
Despite the fact they have Donovan Mitchell, who's explosive, and let's face it, he's the best player in this series, this is still kind of a very much a lunch pail type of team when you talk about the Cavaliers.
Yeah, they're a lunch pail type of team with a star player. Now, before we get to plays of the week, we'll get there in seconds. How are we closing out the show? Are you comfortable with the Rule 76? RJ, would you want to do the Rule 76?
No, I'm not doing Rule 76.
Why?
I could throw to a Rule 76.
You're anti-Rule 76?
I'm not capable.
Yeah, so Dan is comfortable in the Dave role in responding to Rule 76. Dave, I think this is your time. I think you need to throw.
What is it, though, before we... It's no excuses, play like a champion.
That's right.
And then the people on the show.
Well, then you would say your name. And
right.
But then you have to take it back and close out the show, remember.
That's a lot for me. We'll figure it out. Let's go, Raymond. It's plays of the week.
That's because that's what I did.
The plays of the week.
I'm the baby. I only sit when I pee at home. God bless you.
Are the plays of the week.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That called for a steamroll there. Appropriate.
That was a steamer.
Sorry. A hot steamroll.
All right. Starting with Monday, Dave came back from his vacation for a day, and he was looking very forward to what was on deck for him this week. You know, Sherry had her surgery on Tuesday morning, and Dave was lamenting.
I don't know how to do laundry. I got to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I got to make cheese sandwiches. I got to get stuff going.
He's got to make sure the kids are fed.
I have a disorder.
You know, at the end of the show, we basically thought that this was like a Sarah McLachlan commercial. You know which one I'm talking about.
To donate to the pets or whatever?
Donate to the starving Rothenbergs for just 50 cents a day.
I never said we were starving.
Well, you're going to make the kids cheese sandwiches.
That's what he likes.
You can't survive on cheese sandwiches, sir.
He eats one for lunch. First of all, why can't you survive on
cheese
sandwiches?
How many slices of cheese?
Like two or three slices of cheese.
That's a lot of dairy.
He doesn't have a lactose problem. He enjoys the sandwiches. Who are you to judge?
Like deli cheese or like Kraft singles like that they give to like the people in jail?
No, like deli cheese.
Okay.
Like Land O'Lakes yellow American
cheese. Not even the highlight of Monday, though, because this was asked.
You got to fire any one of us on the show.
Well, I'd fire Ray.
And you ask why I feel a certain way about you certain times. I get it.
No.
Tuesday. Dan came back for a day because, as we mentioned, Dave was off. And he was very proud of himself for his parking job. He went to lunch with a person who he didn't want to mention. We can only assume it was an agent. at an establishment.
It was
that
a great Russ. It's not that I didn't want to, but
you're more willing now. But anyway, you went back to the spot for lunch that you, myself, and RJ went for lunch the one day. We weren't able to because they were, well, they were still
What the hell
still
is happening
breakfast.
Right now,
they
by
were
the
still
way?
Serving breakfast. You were kind of flaunting that in our face a little bit, I felt. It's okay, though. Rick had quite a day on Tuesday.
You know what time it is, right?
I hope it's plays of the day.
Close.
No, it's 3 stars, sorry.
It was 3 stars Tuesday. Plays of the week is what we're doing now, just to be clear. Rick was name-calling a little bit, too.
It's that little fat nugget, Nailer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
But callers were appreciative of Rick, too.
You are the man, Rick, dude.
And Rick is fighting through
Rick,
the...
dude.
Through the...
you better hurry up, Raymond. Cast.
Okay.
I have a read now!
Dave back on Wednesday. New life, taking care of somebody. And Thursday.
No reef rills.
That's okay. That led to the great open that talked about my facial hair. Dave adjusting to his life.
I'm happy to be in that number two role.
Oh, that's right. Mel Kiper.
For you guys, there's all soft outs.
Why did he get out the soft out?
League office.
Meeting with league office.
Yeah, meeting with Lee.
And that brought us to Friday.
Johnny Burrito has been so great.
Where's my burrito? Where's my burrito?
Great week of shows, guys.
Great week. Dan, outstanding stuff. Now you go with what you do.
How about a Rule 76?
Oh, no excuses. Play like a champion. It's Grasa and Rothenberg.
And Holger Rune.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Ha-ha! You can't get us.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.